Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 14th day of June, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Call, and it's a tough day to try to pick a story to start us off with because there are so many vying for the top spot for all kinds of different and probably mostly disgusting reasons. Do we go with economic meltdown? Disfigured celebrities after being poked and repoked? How about reality TV from Washington? And it's even worse than Real Housewives from the Swamp. Nah, come on, really. Been there, done that, over and over and over again. Although we will get to some of it in a minute. How about this one? Well, we've heard it before, too, but let's get it out of the way up front. Not that it's in the least surprising, although it is, of course, disgusting. But maybe we'll start off with it because it just plain reeks of left coast hypocrisy. The California State Assembly on Thursday passed what pro-life advocates have called the Radical Infanticide Bill, known as AB 2223. It passed by a vote of 48-21 in the far left controlled state assembly and now goes on to the far left state senate. And what's the latest from virtue-signaling wannabe mass murderers? The new bill legalizes infanticide, or the death of newborns, up to 7 days after they depart the birth canal. No wonder they're still so hot to disarm anybody that still has half a brain. All right, and honestly, I hadn't even intended to do this one, but it does fit so well here. A California-based, where else, pet shop and shelter hybrid will no longer allow their animals to be placed with people who, well, have half a brain and support the Bill of Rights as written, including the Second Amendment. Sill, the owner of the Shelter Hope pet shop in Thousand Oaks, California, said that they'll find out if you lie to them about your views on guns, you constitutionalist libertarian you, and then they'll sue you for fraud. Get this, quote, "We do not support those who believe the Second Amendment gives them the right to buy assault weapons," unquote. Well, you know what, folks? Neither do I, because the Second Amendment doesn't give you the right to buy anything. It simply protects a pre-existing right to self-defense and the right to own property, including yourself, that comes from our creation. Her, which I have a strong suspicion Kim is equally ignorant about. "If your beliefs are not in line with ours," she pontificated, "we will not adopt a pet to you." And they noted that their interviews for hopeful wannabe pet adopters who might meet the very high bar that they're going to set, well, the interview takes about an hour, and they require customers, Achtung, to allow them into your home, und we will check to see whether the physical inspection makes you politically correct enough or not. Some donors, she admitted to NBC News, admit they're stopping their donations if she won't get rid of the thought crime policy. "If I go out of business," she said, "I go out of business, and hey, folks, may it be so. But if you actually believe," this idiot said, "that it is our, quote, responsibility to protect ourselves in public places and arm ourselves with a gun, well, don't come to us asking to adopt a dog." And the question just begs to be asked, for those naive enough to allow these pigs from Animal Farm into their home, what if these Nazis find a MAGA hat or a copy of the Constitution? Even worse, a Bible when they come inspect your home. But I'll say it again, if you've been paying attention, by now you ought to know better. Here's another tell me something I don't know headline, but at least you ought to know it. Nuclear weapons strike, says a piece from the Daily Mail of all places, they're finally starting to at least admit a few things, is more likely now than at any time since the Cold War, with the number of nukes in the world set to rise following 35 years of decline, warns a new report from the International Peace Research Institute.
Let's go, Brandon, I agree.
I don't know about you folks, but I tend to take the warnings from Sergei Lavrov and Vladimir Putin even more seriously. It's not like they didn't warn for months, even years, about the invasion of Ukraine, i.e. about what they would do if NATO and the U.S. kept poking the bear and threatening to put missiles right on their border. Here's one, so stupid and evil, it's almost funny. I alluded to it, almost started off with it, but here we go now. U.S. Attorney General, what a pitiful excuse for a human being. Merrick Garland on Monday fired off an ominous warning to the once and actually re-elected President Donald Trump and his advisors when a reporter asked him about the reality TV show trials, supposedly addressing January the 6th. The choreographed circus may be plumbing the ratings depths, but that doesn't prevent reporters from asking about it. Said perhaps, and this is quite a statement, folks, one of the worst in a long line of absolutely abominations masquerading as Attorney General, Merrick Garland.
I am watching, and I will be watching all the hearings, and I can assure you that the January 6th prosecutors are watching all the hearings as well.
Unquote, and after all, Survivor isn't on anymore. And it's not like they'd put it on opposite Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Now for that better tribe, folks, I guess fair is fair. The Gateway Pundit also has this up from Jim Hoft, quoting the President of the United States, the real one as opposed to the senile fake, who, after noting the abysmal ratings of the primetime scam last week, opined that maybe the reason is no one likes being fed lies by soulless political hacks. But President Trump did publish a 12-page rebuttal to the Hollywood-produced pot of lies on Monday afternoon. And here's how that reads. Well, don't worry. I'm not going to rehash the rebuttal to the lies, just the intro. Our nation, he said, is suffering. Our economy's in the gutter. Inflation is rampant. Gas prices have reached an all-time high. Ships are unable to unload cargo. Families cannot get needed baby formula. We're an embarrassment around the world. And I think he's understating the case a bit, folks, but let's let him continue. Our withdrawal from Afghanistan was a disaster that cost us precious American blood and gave $85 billion worth of the best military equipment on earth to our enemy. Millions and millions of illegals, he said, are marching across the border and invading our country. We have a White House in shambles with Democrats just this week declaring that Biden is unfit to run for re-election, which is arguably also an understatement. And what he asked is the Democrat Congress focused on? A kangaroo court, hoping to distract the American people from the great pain they're experiencing. And you know what, folks? You ain't seen nothing yet. I'll follow that up with another quick reminder about the state of anything but justice in America. Not only are you not allowed to see almost all of the footage of what really happened on January the 6th, you're not going to be allowed to see the footage of Nancy's drunken husband, Paul Pelosi, after he was arrested for drunk driving, because the Napa County DA seems to know who really matters and who doesn't. What do you bet if anybody on this video had the last name Trump, it would have been all over CNN, MSNBC, and all the ministries of truth by now. Here's the laugher, folks. In response to Freedom of Information Act requests from various actual news sources, they respond that, we're not going to give it to you because it might jeopardize an ongoing investigation. isn't that a laugher? Like, who are we going to be able to blame this on? We're still investigating. Christina Lalo notes, hey, you know what? It's a bit late for that, because after all, they let Paul Pelosi sit for over 4 hours and sober up a bit before they even gave him a blood alcohol test, which still managed to come out at Pelosifying levels. Well, it's time finally to turn to the continuing economic meltdown and initial stages of the inevitable hyperinflation and complete U.S. dollar wipeout, says Tyler Durden for Zero Hedge. U.S. index futures have staged a feeble, fading attempt to bounce on Tuesday after Monday's crash that wiped out a full $1.3 trillion fiat dollars in market cap and topped a furious four-day sell-off that was the worst since March of 2020 in the middle of COVID land and culminated in a bear market amid expectations, even from permabulls like Goldman Sachs, that the Fed's now accepted three-quarter point or 75 basis point rate hike on Wednesday will, of course, as expected, and certainly planned, hurl the economy into a recession. Or can you say the D word, folks? Futures on the S&P 500 rebounded a bit more than 1% in early trading before the gain faded to just a quarter point or less, while NASDAQ 100 futures climbed about 0.5%. It's officially the Biden bear, and now, I hope you're sitting down, folks, there are concerns that the Fed will go too far in raising interest rates, i.e. keep backing up until they hear glass breaking and then hit the gas, and we're still going to have hyperinflation anyway. Meanwhile, in Japan, their central bank boosted bond purchase operations to try to keep yields in check, even as the yen hovered near a 24-year low against the fiat greenback. Least nasty house in a bad neighborhood. And on that score, Deutsche Bank's Observer noted that the, quote, printer is on overdrive, and if the current pace of bond buying persists, that bank will have ended up buying approximately 10 trillion yen in the month of June alone, the rough equivalent of the Fed doing more than $300 billion of QE per month when adjusting for GDP. Japan, says Zero Hedge's summary, is on the verge of systemic collapse with, quote, dramatic, unpredictable non-linearities in financial markets, again, according to the same Deutsche Bank report. With less than 2 weeks before we get to the end of the second quarter, writes Zero Hedge, a dismal picture has emerged. This quarter is set to deliver the combined biggest loss for global bonds and stocks on record, says Bloomberg. The highest inflation in a generation, stoked by supply chain and commodity market disruptions amid China's COVID struggles, and of course the oh-so-well-planned war in Ukraine, all of which are roiling the outlook. And according to Bloomberg, the big question now is whether or not the Fed and other major central banksters will tip their economies into recession as they tighten financial conditions. Well, they say, we disagree. A recession is now assured. The real big question is how sparking a recession in the U.S. will force Putin to pump more gas. And here, folks, let me suggest something. That is not why the Biden regime is jonesing for World War III. But on the collapse front, we have a couple more interesting headlines. Well, actually, two of them covering the same story. Coinbase has announced they're going to fire about 18% of their employees because, quote, we appear to be entering a recession. And with Bitcoin, begins Zero Hedge's summary, crashing down to $21,000 overnight, more than two-thirds from its all-time high, as opportunistic traders are now shorting the crypto in hopes of forcing Celsius to liquidate and MicroStrategy to get a margin call, which won't happen, they note, until Bitcoin drops to $4,000. Moments ago, they say the CEO of the largest crypto exchange, Brian Armstrong of Coinbase, sent a letter to all of his employees saying he was going to fire 18% of them because of the, oh yeah, recession that's here after a 10-plus year economic boom. CNBC, for their part, says Coinbase is laying off about a fifth of its workforce amid a collapse not only in their stock price, but also crypto prices in general. And they note that Armstrong's message admitted that the company grew, quote, too quickly during the big crypto bull market. And, yeah, he said since another crypto winter apparently is on deck, he has to, quote, ensure we stay healthy during this economic downturn. From the economic meltdown, we'll move on to the meltdown of the big COVID lie and the masses of deaths only just beginning. Yet another study, writes Steve Watson for InfoWars, has come right out and admitted what we've been suspecting and seeing increasingly for quite a while now. A new study, this time conducted by the National Bureau of Economic Research, or NBER, found that conservatively, and that's kind of an odd way to put it, isn't it, there were at least 170,000 non-COVID excess deaths in the United States through 2020 into 2021. The restrictive lockdowns, idiotic mask mandates, and other things that you probably know all too well about have all contributed to a massive spike in excess deaths with a 26% jump in mortality rates for working-age adults in America. Things were bad in Europe, too, except for Sweden, which didn't actually do the stupid stuff and didn't suffer nearly as badly for it. And the study went on to note that the real number is probably closer to 200,000 now dead Americans because of these so-called unmeasured COVID deaths. That is, people who may have died only with the virus and not actually from it. If, well, for the first time, they started to take those into account. And interestingly, folks, they're still not coming right out and really telling you what the problem was. Not just stupid, idiotic things that caused more people to die, like the business-destroying lockdowns and mask mandates, which really didn't help at all, but all those other things that resulted in higher rates of suicide, direct and indirect, don't forget drug abuse and alcoholism, and of course, as we now know, vaccidents and vaccine injuries and deaths associated with destroying people's immune systems, heart, pulmonary, and lung function, and now brain function to boot. Here's a related story, courtesy of the Exposé and Vox Day, about excess deaths, this time in the UK, which has recently published information showing that the vaccinated population in England had a higher, no, not lower, mortality rate per 100,000 folks, who could have thought it, than the unvaccinated population. And the analysis found, they added, that it takes about 5 months from the time of receiving the COVID-19 stroke, poke, clot, shot, Zyklon B injection for the elevated mortality rate to be realized. Now it says the UK government data on deaths in England and Wales has added still further weight to the above findings because the UK has again been experiencing excess deaths since the end of April 2022, about 5 months after the mass winter booster poison poke vaccination campaign. And here's the punchline. Yeah, we've been talking about this on this show as well. The vax is a ticking time bomb that activates, statistically speaking, about 5 months or so after the boost. You've all seen the uptick that has baffled, I say baffled, so-called doctors when it comes to the sudden uptick in SADS or sudden adult death syndrome. It's oh so mysterious, but it does seem to kind of show that the COVID-19 not vax significantly increases the risk of death and manages to kill people, peaking about 5 months after the poke. Notes Fox Day, while statistical studies only address correlations rather than causality, they're still more reliable and they don't take nearly as long as published peer-reviewed scientific studies due to the obvious and increasing corruption of the scientific profession, science publications, and of course, those who are on the take to feed you the big lie and the poison poke. The big takeaway, suggests Vox Day, is that a person who has taken the injection isn't out of the woods just 3 months post-vax either. Remember, the lethality approach wasn't all that subtle, considering more people would have been refusing to be vaxxed if the effects had come on too much faster. Mike Adams of Natural News has done a pretty interesting microscopy study of samples that he was sent from autopsies of people that died of various types of clots. Turns out, probably, as he points out, they're not really blood clots because they don't show platelets under the microscope, but they do show what he calls protein structures. Oh yeah, and do I really need to say it? These are all people that died with the vax. Quote, "We don't yet know what all these structures are," he said. "We know what they're not, however. They're not simply clotted blood cells. If they were, then at 1500x magnification, as shown in the last photo, we'd be able to see individual blood cells. These are not blood cells. They are protein structures. And structures circulating in the blood like this, building up over time, are clearly being constructed by the body's cells. The ribosomes in these cells instruct the body what proteins to construct. These ribosomes are hijacked by mRNA gene therapy," he speculates, "and the injections, which overwrite new instructions to the cells, causing them to manufacture something that seems other than human. I believe the structures you're seeing," and he includes some of the pictures in his report, "are the result of mRNA protein synthesis instructions which have been injected into people under the umbrella, the false umbrella, of vaccines." And he goes on to say he welcomes input from other experts who may have theories or alternative explanations of where all of this is coming from. Certainly more research is needed. But one thing is sure, they're not blood clots. They're structures in the blood. So call them structural clots or fibrous clots if you prefer, but they're extremely large and they're being constructed in bodies over time. And it may help to explain, he said, why so many otherwise seemingly healthy adults, having taken the poison poke, are suddenly dying. Here's a quick related story, basically making the same point, but bolstering the case. A pathologist, Dr. Ryan Cole of Cole Diagnostics in Boise, Idaho, who heads one of America's leading labs, is now finding unusually long blood clots, or at least maybe some kind of clots, as long as 1 foot in the bodies of deceased people who have received the COVID-19 84 Cyclone B injections. He told Greg Hunter in an interview with USA Watchdog that his lab is, quote, "seeing mushy organs. We're seeing incredibly inflamed organs. We know," he added, "the spike protein causes all the bad outcomes that the virus did in 2020. And he noted that in people with comorbidities, serious chronic diseases, the synthetic spike protein in the mRNA vaccines produced by Pfizer and Moderna are, quote, causing inflammation in the lung, the brain, the liver, the kidneys, the heart. It's causing the same damage that the virus was causing. But," he added, "in the body, the shots are persisting and making more spike protein than if you'd had a natural infection." And he goes on to say, "the problem is the spike protein is thrombogenic. It causes clots, and it causes a lot of clots." And he too notes that morticians, as have been explained in a number of interviews, including with COVID vaccine activist Steve Kirsch, usually put some kind of a dissolving fluid into the bodies of people that died of vaccines in order to break up clots so they can even get their embalming fluids in. The morticians, added Cole, have ended up pulling out things like 6-inch clots, 12-inch clots, even 2 to 3 foot long clots. Because, you know, in that vein that runs from the hip down into the leg, you have that long vein called the saphenous vein. And they were pulling long clots out of longer veins, and they'd never seen anything like this previously. Lest you think, though, that the truth is about to come out and Big Brother's going to admit, oh yeah, we tried to kill billions of you, didn't quite get to it, you figured it out. Nope, the opposite is true. Says another piece from Zero Hedge, the U.S. and the Biden regime is now seeking to expand, no, not COVID-1984 testing, that's already been revealed to be a fraud, but we're still going to keep doing it, This time it's monkeypox, as the narrative just keeps on rolling. The Biden regime begins the piece as working to expand monkeypox testing capabilities beyond the narrow group of public health labs as so-called infectious disease experts, some of us by now think they might be experts at producing it, are now suggesting that testing for the virus needs to become part of, get this, routine care, or at least routine fear-mongering. As the Epoch Times notes, the Center for Death and Control and its director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, said during a conference call on Friday that her disgusting excuse for an agency, and your host put that in there, folks, is working with the Federal Death Administration, FDA, and CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, to expand testing capacity to include commercial laboratories. Booga, 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 we got some fear-mongering to sell, and guess what? Another vaccine, too. At present, it says, monkeypox testing is done through a network of 69 public health laboratories, which send results to the CDC for confirmation. But that's not good enough, because so far there have only been 50 confirmed cases in the U.S. across 50 states. While roughly 300 monkeypox tests have been administered, what do you bet they're looking for, say, 90% false positive rates on tens of thousands? Color me skeptical, folks. It's not like we haven't been here, seen this, and done it all before. Let's wrap up all of this today with two quick stories on two very different fronts. First, from Steve Bannon's War Room and former Trump campaign advisor Steve Cortez, who joined to talk about the out-of-control Biden regime inflation by design. The official numbers being reported are much, much lower than the true rate of inflation Americans know they're currently experiencing. Citing a Charles Schwab analysis on CPI for essentials like gas, food, utility bills, he showed that the true rate of inflation is basically about three times the 8.5% to 8.6% currently being lied about. It's really closer to 25% for everyday necessities that Americans realize they can't go without. From there, let's talk about one other sad but high-profile thing that Americans might actually figure out as well. Canadian singer Justin Bieber shocked his fans on Friday when he revealed he's canceling his new tour because he's experiencing facial paralysis due to what's called Ramsay-Hunt syndrome. And said the triple-vaxxed icon, "I'm frustrated, but I'm just not physically capable of doing the shows. I wish this wasn't the case, but obviously my body's telling me I got to slow down." Maybe, folks, suggests Steve Kirsch, it's saying, quit taking the poison poke. In an analysis he entitles Why I'm 99% Certain Justin Bieber's Facial Paralysis Was Vax-Induced, he says that VAERS data shows Ramsay-Hunt syndrome is 160 times more likely after a COVID vaccination than for all other vaccinations combined in any given year. And if you exclude the anthrax vaccine from the comparison, it's simply too high to calculate. Zero cases in over three decades. So guess what that means? And too bad he won't even tell the truth to his fans. It's fitting we'll wrap up today with one more whopper revealed. Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, how's that for disgusting, appeared on Where Else? CNN with Don Lemon, where she laughed off the question that should have been asked over and over again before the fraudulent 2020 election.
Does the president have the stamina, physically and mentally, do you think, to continue on even after 2024?
Don, you're asking me this question. Oh, my gosh. He's the president of the United States.
He's friggin' senile, and he stole the office. He shouldn't be.
You know, I can't even keep up with it. We just got back from New Mexico. We just got back from California. That is not a question that we should be even asking.
How dare you? Because it points out the obvious. But the little sycophant did anyway, so it gives her a chance to laugh at it rather than treat it seriously.
Just look at the work that he does and look how he's delivering for the American public.
He's destroyed the economy, destroyed the dollar, achieved the highest inflation in American history, and he's getting ready to destroy the internal combustion engine and the ability of all American people not only to travel anywhere, but to eat. And just wait till you figure out what this regime is doing to the power grid. That is, if World War III doesn't take it all out first. And are you ready for this? I guess I have to mention it. She didn't answer the question. She deflected. She laughed it off. She joked about it. And what does the CNN crawler say? White House reiterates Biden plans to run for re-election in 2024. Unquote. As if the 25th Amendment shouldn't have taken him out if we still had a Constitution long before that. All right, guess, folks, if he reached into his own pants and started rubbing feces on his face at the State of the Union, that might tip the American people off, too. This is way, way beyond a joke. At this point, it's really even way beyond treason. I look at the news every day, folks, and I got to admit, it sometimes baffles me, and I wonder just how much more are dumbed-down Americans actually going to take. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.